Perfect. So let's begin tonight's meeting. Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for the Magnolia Public Schools Finance Committee meeting. My name is Jennifer Lara, and I'm the Executive Assistant here at Magnolia Public Schools. Before we begin, I did have two brief reminders. First and foremost, this meeting is being recorded. And second, if you're a member of the public and you wish to give a comment during the public comment section of this meeting, you're more than welcome to state your name. If it's something you feel uncomfortable in doing so, you do not have to state your name. However, to the members of our board and staff, as always, please state your name before speaking. Now, with that being said, we're going to begin tonight's Magnolia Public Schools Finance Committee meeting. The day is February 11th, 2021, and the time is 5:33 p.m. With that, Dr. Dickbush, may you please call the meeting to order.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. As Laura said, it's February 11th, 5:33 p.m. I would like to call meeting to order, please.
Thank you, Dr. Dickbush. I'll now take attendance for this meeting. Dr. Dickbush?
Here.
Rob Abeliak?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Here.
Thank you to the board members for joining us. Next, we'll move on to the public comments portion. So we did not receive any form or any public comments form for this meeting. However, if you're a member of the public and you wish to give a comment, please unmute yourselves now. Perfect, if there's no public comments, I'll now move on. Next on the agenda, we have the approval of the agenda. The motion is to approve the agenda as presented. With that, would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll make the motion.
Sorry, who moved the motion?
I did, and Rabbi did as well.
So we have a motion and a second. Good.
Thank you for Mr. Mohamedov and Rabbi Beliak. I'll now take vote on the agenda. Dr. Dickbush?
Yes.
Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Thank you for that. Next on the agenda, we have the approval of minutes for the regular Finance Committee meeting held in June 29th, 2020. Would a board member like to move this motion?
I'll move.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there a second?
Yes, I second.
Thank you, Dr. Dickbush. I'll now take a vote. Dr. Dickbush?
Yes.
Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Thank you so much. The minutes for June 29th has been approved. Next on the agenda, we'll move on to the recommended action item, starting with 2A, updates to fiscal policies. This will be presented by Mr. Orzov, our Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Orzov?
Yes, thank you, Jen, and good evening, board members and greater public and Magnolia staff. So as you know, whenever we have a change in our fiscal policy or any policies, we bring it to the attention of the board to get the blessing and the approval from the board. And only at that point, it becomes our policy after the board's approval. The last time the fiscal policies were updated was, I believe it was in June of 2020. It was June 11th of 2020. So since then, we've been looking, after my arrival to the organization, we looked at our fiscal policies and procedures. And there are certain items that we wanted to recommend to adjust or make adjustments on to basically improve the processes and also the kind of reflect the best practices in the industry. Right now, it's some of them we can go one by one, but basically we have four items in front of you. Can you project, Jen, the agenda? Can you open the PDF file?
This is the file.
I'm looking at the agenda right now. I can share my screen if that's easier.
You mean the report, right? That's what I'm projecting right
now.
Yes, really? That's what I'm projecting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is Alfredo, Jennifer. We don't see it on the screen. We see the agenda for Board on Track.
Really?
Yeah, probably you need to stop sharing and share again. Sometimes Zoom does yes. that.
Got it. There we go. Perfect.
Yeah. Thank you. So we have, I believe we have three updates that we're bringing up to your attention today. As I said, we have a heavy system in terms of processing the AP and disbursements at the moment, and we looked up in terms of what other CMOs or other organizations are doing as well, and we decided that it would be better if we just update the approval limits for the first part. Actually, there are four things. Sorry about that. So I have the first one is procurement and AP authorization limits. Obviously, on the left-hand side, you see the approver. Then in the middle, you see the current limits, the current practice, and then the proposed limits. And the way I tried to put this together was both, I tried to kind of put the numbers both for the approval limits and the review, because we have the approval limits, that's one thing, and then the review, we have a review process. So whenever we look at the numbers, I can go through the numbers. Currently, the principals are approving up to $5,000, and it's not changed. We're not suggesting any change there. And they have to review whenever there is a payment, they have to review as well. And then once it reaches the $5,000, then it will go to a chief operating officer, and it will remain the same because, you know, we wanted to have leadership. You know, it was I think, implemented a couple of years ago, and we can see that that's a help to the principals to add an added layer in terms of operations. And then once the COO is approving it, then it goes to fiscal staff, chief senior financial analyst or the controller for further review in terms of the coding and whether or not the supporting documentation is there and the budget availability and so on. So from there on, currently any amount, you know, a dollar, even a 50 cent will come to me. And then if the amount reaches $10,000, it will go to our CEO. And for the board threshold is $25,000 currently. So, you know, imagining the size of our organizations and the magnitude and the number of transactions, it is really taking quite a bit of time for myself to approve any amount. We're talking about $60 million budget, and I think we can increase the threshold for the approval limits. And we did due diligence and looked out and checked with other CMOs similar to ourselves. Their limits are much higher even compared to the proposed limits we have here. For example, Aspire Public Schools, their approval limits are, their thresholds are $250,000 for both the CEO and CFO, and only the transactions about $250,000 go to board of directors approval. But if the transaction is less than that, it is with the CEO and CFO. But that's not what we're suggesting. We're trying to kind of find the balance. So our suggestion is to increase, my limit. Basically, what we're suggesting is the transactions between $10,000 and $25,000 approval should be with me, and for a CEO. $25,000 to $50,000, and any amount at $50,000 or more will require board's approval. So that's the proposed limits. If you have any questions, I think it will be better to go one by one here. I'm happy to address.
So generally, what kinds of things, if you could make a generalization, how many events a year do you have where the CEO, I mean, not talking pandemic now, because that's created some new things. How many events a year can you estimate do you have a decision that's $25,000 or more that needs to go under the system to the CEO?
I can double check on that because I haven't been there for a full year. Plus, you know, the time I've been here is during the pandemic period. But Alfredo, do you have any sense of how many times that could be?
No, I don't want to give an estimate. This is Alfredo, by the way. So I don't want to give an estimate of how much that is, but I do know on a week-to-week basis, pre-pandemic, even the threshold of over 10,000, I think I would say anywhere from 25 to 30 requests that come my way through our school ability system. In terms of 25,000 and up, yeah, I would have to work with Barbara and Jen to kind of run that report to see what that looked like last year. I'm not
certain. And plus, you know, you're talking about single transaction, Alfredo, but the whenever we're talking about contract approval, you know, we have, 11 sites, including MERV, and the $25,000 actually sums up really quick when you're talking about, like, expenses for the entire year plus the 11 different sites. And again, I think what we're trying to do here is trying to find a balance in between not providing too much flexibility to the staff and, you know, not to make things impracticable. So in that regard, we did check, you know, with different organizations. In fact, I checked with FICMAT guidelines as well, and it says they're not suggesting any specific limit, but they have a sample policy or a sample suggestion which states $50,000 for CFO and CEO. Our limit is even less than that for myself, for example. We're keeping that $25,000. Whenever, you know, when working on things like this, I think there are a couple of things that we have to keep in mind. One is the practicability, compliance, obviously, and then the budget review process for the board. So I think considering all of those together, what we're suggesting here is kind of a middle ground. And we think that it's going to improve the processes and make it efficient, more efficient going forward.
So I guess what I'm trying to remember is how many $25,000 things have we been asked to approve in this year of pandemic, and of course we gave a sort of exception here because we've spent the last year almost completely under pandemic, I'm trying to think of what was going on the year before, and somehow I don't remember that many issues that came up. I'm just not clear about what's, you know, I understand what everybody else is doing. I'm trying to figure out what we're trying to do. How often does it arise that the CEO needs to go to 25 or the CFO needs to go to 10? And I just don't have a sense of that.
So I have a report in front of me. I think it will answer your question, but let me double check just a second here. So we have 85 vendors that were paying $25,000 or more. And I think it's from 18-19. If that was your question.
Okay, that's helpful. And so we had 85 items that have come before the board that have required.
It could have been approved in one time. Like what happens is as part of the budget submission, the staff also provides a master list of vendors that gets paid either $25,000 or more. So, you know, the board normally approves them in bulk. And there are additional contracts throughout the year that require additional approvals from the board, and that limit currently is $25,000, and we're suggesting that limit is increased to $50,000. Again, we're trying to, you know, find the best practice in the industry, and I think it's very uncommon to have a $25,000 threshold for board's approval for a size of our organization. For a similar organization, similarly sized organization.
I have a question.
Seven, I have a quick question. Oh, go ahead, Dr.
Okay, yeah. I think I welcome the effort using this type of, I guess, critical juncture to look into essentially our processes and try to improve it. And if it's going to help, I think, central team productivity efficiency, it's a nice welcome. I encourage other teams also to look into it. In here, as I'm trying to understand, as an example, let's say in San Diego, if principal wants to acquire something, let's say 2,000. So does that mean in the current, he approves it, but at the same time, it comes to CFO and then he has to approve it also, since it says any amount?
That's right.
Okay. So with that, then up to 5,000, then principal will approve it and then essentially the process will be completed.
So there will be, so that's why I refer to review process. So there are two things. I think I should have put two columns there instead of one. I tried to combine both in one column, but it creates some unclarity. So there's the approval limits and there is the review process. So currently the approval limits for principals is $5,000. So if the transaction is less than $5,000, the approval process, the approval itself is with principal, but that doesn't necessarily mean he can go ahead and purchase something by himself without any further review.
I see.
The rest, at that point, if it's less than $5,000, the rest is kind of a review process. It still has to go to the home office fiscal operations team. It's either the senior financial analyst or the controller. They have to make sure that they have proper budget for that transaction and appropriate coding in terms of expense was actually performed, and you know there is no problems in terms of compliance for that transaction. But if it's about $5,000, then it goes to chief operating officer for approval. And if it's what we're suggesting is if it's $10,000 or more up until $25,000, I will be able to approve it as a CFO.
Yeah,
does that answer your question?
Yeah, that helps. And what about, like, did we want to consider changing the principal limit also? Like right now, what if there is something $7,000? Like it seems principal then cannot, then where does it fall into then? Is it then SFA controller or no, CEO, then CEO has to step in and then approve it?
So if it's $7,000, obviously based on our threshold, it exceeds the amount principal can approve. At that point, principal will still have to approve it as a review process, right? Because that's what the system is based on right now. And then once he approves, it goes to further approval to chief operating officer.
Okay.
And then after he approves, it goes to the home office fiscal operations team for them to review in terms of compliance part.
Okay, got it.
And that will be the end of the process if it's only $7,000. But currently, again, even if it's $1, let's say they purchase a pencil for $1, it comes to me. Like it's really, really time consuming. It's not anywhere near efficient because, you know, I would like to be involved in more important stuff. I would like to use my time for more, more efficiently. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. I think I agree. As long as we have the review process, we are making sure every purchase is being verified. It definitely makes sense to increase the CFO CEO. And what is BOT?
BOT is Board of Trustees. It's you.
Okay.
It's you.
Oh, okay.
And
go ahead. Okay. I was trying to see if we should consider increasing principal also, but since there is no request or adjusting it, we don't see any value right now for principal, etc.
Yeah, we don't. We initially thought of that, and we even thought of eliminating chief operating officer layer there. But after further consideration, we saw the value of having chief operating officer there because when principal is approving something, they can only look at from their own school lens, right? But chief operating officer is kind of overviewing different schools, though. So they, we also have to be mindful about the threshold. Whenever it approaches to the Board of Trustees approval limit, then at that point, we have to stop it, first take it to the board, and then only after getting the board approval, we can proceed with the procurement. So So that's why we thought having their chief operating officer will be helpful. So we just kept the limits at $5,000 for principal, and keeping chief operating officer as an approver for any transactions between $5,000 and $10,000.
Okay, I see. And one last question. Like, I understand, I guess for nonprofits there cannot be one set limit, but those proposed limits, they are within comparable institutions, comparable charter schools, right? So essentially, yeah, that's right. Saying, hey, we are trying to be more streamlined, more efficient, and that's why we are proposing. Okay.
And in fact, what we're proposing is actually less than what other similar sized or similar organizations have in place. For example, as I said, Aspire Public Schools, they're a little bigger than us, but at the end of the day, what they have in place is $250,000 as an approval limit for both the CFO and CEO, and only transactions exceeding $250,000 go to the board of directors for approval.
Well, in that case, there's like 10x, 8x difference. And
actually,
why not make it then larger instead of CFO, CEO, BOT, I don't know, let's say double them.
We can definitely consider that down the road if that's the board is actually wants to see.
Right now, you are saying essentially, with the even existing proposed, you are saying essentially you will see improvement in the efficiency, productivity of the C team. And absolutely. If further refinement is needed, then based on practice feedback, then we can reconsider again. Okay, sounds good.
So I think Makan was next, Rabbi.
He was
chiming in as Dr. Dikbash was speaking.
Thank you. Sardar, regarding what you're trying to do here is it's not about the upper thresholds here, also to streamline the lower thresholds, right? That there are too many small amount approvals that are coming through that you guys have to go through approving them regardless of the amount. And that is, that's what you guys also trying to streamline. Is that right?
That's right. So
if that's the case, I mean, I can personally relate to that. Even when Magnolia was at the smaller budget than it is now, it has been a huge burden. And I can assume that it's even way more than that at this point.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
Rabbi, go ahead.
So I guess the part that I appreciate the most is this principle to chief operating officer. That is where the most difficult stuff takes place, where the minutiae. I can imagine principals are constantly having small amounts that they need to have approved. Would you explain again, I think I heard it correctly, but the difference between the review process and the limits? So
please. So the review process is independent of the approval limits. Even if we spend, let's say the amount of the transaction is 50 cents, right? We have to make sure that we have enough layers to satisfy the internal controls and segregation of duties and make sure that we're in compliance with all the requirements put forth by the federal government, for the state, and by LAUSD or, approving agencies, right? So in that regard, when it comes to review process, that takes place within the procurement system. Whenever there is a PO order in place, that obviously will have to be submitted by the principal. And then it goes, regardless of the amount, it goes further on in the process, in the system for further review and approval, for the review process, not the approval limit. So, for example, let's say there is a transaction, we're purchasing, a books, right? With books is, it's a larger amount. Let's go with a smaller amount. We're purchasing a set of notebooks, right, for $100 total. So that, and we're ordering it from Staples. That transaction will have to be first put in place, requested as a PO by the principal. Once he submits that transaction, then it has to go to either the senior financial analyst or the controller to make sure that we have that transaction was coded according to the budget, and we have room in the budget to purchase that given transaction. Once that is taken care of, the PO will be procured. Basically, the order will be placed, and it will be received by the principal. That's the review process. But when we're talking about, you know, a larger transaction, like let's say $10,000 or $11,000, that's when the approval limits kick in, because we only have $5,000 for the principal to, you know, in terms of the approval limits. And if it exceeds that limit, then at that point, you know, further in the layer, there is additional involvement in terms of approving the transaction, not reviewing the transaction. So going back to my example, $11,000 of a purchase, it will, because it exceeds the limits from the principal, then it will have to go to first a chief operating officer, because it's more than $5,000. And then it will it has to go to a chief financial officer, which will be myself, to approve it.
Thank you. This is helpful.
Is there any other questions from the members of our board?
Oh, we have three other updates here. Can we go to the next one? Because it's all part of one item. We have to vote collectively for all four items.
Yes, okay. We can, but this is Alfredo. Jen, Jennifer, if you could state the board meeting time and the delay.
Yeah, just a reminder for everyone, our regular board meeting at 6 is on track to begin at 6:15.
Okay, so the next one is, if there are no more questions, I would like to go to the next one, which is regarding the budget transfers. And this is, you know, what we're talking about is not creating additional expense. It's just about moving amounts from one line to another, from, let's say, textbooks to services, right? We oftentimes see savings in one line, and there is a need for another service, and principals are suggesting to move funds from one expense line to another. And that's where where this policy comes in play. Basically, as of right now, only myself can approve such a transfer, which is, again, going back to my earlier point, it's really taking time. And this is not by any means creating an additional expense. It is just moving one fund from one place to another. So what I would like to do is I would like to give that authority to my controller and senior financial analyst, so that it doesn't take time. Like you have to think of it a three-way process. Like whenever, you know, there is an approval process. For example, let's say I'm at a meeting and there is a transaction, or we need a fund in one line, transfer from another line, because it's in the procurement or the GL system. Until I find the time to review that transaction and approve it, and we can't proceed with that with that purchase, or you know, with that report. And that's really taking so much time. It's not only about my time, but it's also about, you know, collective time to proceed further with that transaction or for that report. So in that regard, to make things more efficient, we're suggesting that controller and senior financial analyst be able to approve and perform those reclassifications. Any questions?
If there's no further questions from the board members,
yeah,
was the motion?
Oh, no. Still, we have two more.
Still has two
we
more have items. Two more.
Oh, sorry.
So the next one, as you know, our policy is required currently that any contract exceeding $25,000be put through an RFP process. And again, this is putting something through an RFP process is really a lengthy process, and it takes time. And we looked at the state guidelines in terms of what's the minimum threshold that the state imposes on schools like ourselves, the school districts, and so on. that limit for, and they update that limit each year. That limit is at $96,000 for, I think, 2020. I can double check. Let me actually do that really quick. So for 2021, the limit is $96,700 compared to our policy, which is $25,000. And in that regard, and because of that, because the restrictions are much higher, what we're recommending here is to increase that limit from $25,000 to $50,000. That way, it's going to be aligned with proposed CEO approval and board's approval threshold to make things kind of aligned and keep things simple and easier to understand. Any questions on that? Okay, if no questions, the next one, we just wanted to have an additional clarification in terms of what kind of service requires an RFP. Currently, what we have is, you know, it says a new service contracts only, you know, require an RFP process, but it doesn't clarify what exactly new service means. So does it mean a new service or renewal or extension of a contract requires with existing vendor an RFP, or is it a brand new vendor and brand new service agreement, right? So the way it was written, it does not require existing contract renewals to be put through RFP process, because they were one time already done that. But it is not clear in the policies, which might create some confusion going forward. So that's why we wanted to add that clarity and add that language to make sure that it is clear enough for everybody to understand what exactly that entails. Any questions?
I have to say I'm feeling a little constrained because of not being able to ask certain questions that may be theoretical. Let's say there is, let me see if I can formulate this in a way that does not get us into something that maybe should be discussed in a closed session. Let's say we're at the $50,000 limit for an RFP. The question is not a question of limits, but of competency. The question would not even come to the board if the board wanted to ask a question about competency. It would just be, if it's under 50,000, it's $49,000, let's say. It might be that an RFP would be let out and decided upon without any board input. In other words, one of the reasons you have RFPs is that you try to keep some decisions about competing vendors in a process where you have perceptions of their work. And that usually is discussed in closed session. I'm just a little confused about that.
So I think there are two things to consider. Thank you. That's a good point. There are two things to consider. I think the same concern applies to all other organizations, I guess. We also have to consider, the practicality and how much time that consumes from the staff standpoint as well. I think we have to find, from my standpoint, we have to find the balance in between those two things. In accounting and finance, there is a concept of materiality. And that's actually the state guidelines are referring to as well. It is at this point $96,000 for 2021. I'm sure they have, they are sharing the same concerns that you've just mentioned about, but at the end of the day, it is also, you know, about efficiency and the cost of running through many RFP process and time involvement with that. I think I keep repeating that, but again, it's about finding the balance there between having the board review and the efficiency.
Yeah, so I'm with you on the efficiency need, I'm, you know, the reason for the RFP process is to prevent cronyism, and that's where I have a problem. You know, I realize that the cronyism kind of thing can creep in anywhere. So that's the thing I'm trying to figure out here. You know, because I do think if for this size, I mean, you've convinced me about the need for the efficiency, and you know, if we have a CFO and a CEO, then we better let them do their work and not have them nickel or dime. In fact, I would say that may even be something to look at with the principals, though I don't want to make a rash decision without somebody saying, look, most principals are making decisions about $100, $200 items, and let them move along, and let's only make a decision about looking at this once every 6 months or something. In other words, I'm accepting your principle of, yes, we need review. Yes, we need to unleash people's time to do the important things. But I'm stuck here on especially the bigger things, because a lot of our projects are, you know, and I don't know how to capture it. And I'm thinking out loud. There are certain things that we want to capture that are what I would say and enduring items. And there are certain things that are every day, every year we have to buy a certain number of textbooks or whatever it is. And that should be a big discussion. And it does cost exactly $49,000 or something. I'm a little stuck here on the, wanting to affirm everything, but concerned about when should stuff be referred for review to make sure that we don't end up with that kind of cronyism.
Well, I don't know, Alfredo, if you want to chime in, if you have any comments, please do so. But and from my perspective, again, if there is any specific concerns in a specific area, I think that should be looked at independent from the policy standpoint, because, you know, for policy applies to all different areas, right? But if the board is concerned about specific area, maybe there could be some exceptions, temporary exceptions until the matter is resolved. But in terms of general standing policy, I think compared to the threshold that we're seeing in the industry, we're much lower, which means that we're not really abiding by the best practices. As we all know that when it comes to, you know, tax monies, the state, the CDE, and, you know, the federal government, they're really tight, they're really strict. But even them, they have the minimum threshold of $96,000. And what we're proposing here is to increase $25,000 to $50,000. It's almost half of what the minimum is.
Yeah, I was just add, definitely, Rabbi, I hear what you're saying. And I think what we've done over the course of the last 4 years is really create different layers of accountability, from all the way from the principal all the way to the home office with the senior financial analyst, controller, CFO, myself, and COO. So I think through those checks and balances, we are very mindful of, you know, purchases that are in alignment with our budget, the budget that you approve at the, you know, beginning of the fiscal year in June. So I think we do a pretty good job to make sure that we are looking at every expense, making sure the budget, there's budget for it, making sure it's consistent with the academic programs we're going to implement or the operational, you know, just tasks that we have to perform. So I'm confident in the checks and balances we have with those multiple layer of personnel before it gets to the board for approval.
Also, in this case, up to $50,000, we're talking about the RFP process, right? Regardless, in this case, the item would come, if it's just for approval purposes, it would come to the board, right? From the regular approval procedure wise, not talking about the RFP. Like we're not gonna be doing RFP. It doesn't mean that it's not gonna come to the board. It's just, there will be no RFP process.
So we're increasing both to $50,000, Mekan. So currently $25,000 or more goes to board for contract approval. And the same applies to RFP requirements. So if a contract is more than $25,000, that contract should be vetted through the RFP process first, and then can only be taken to the board for approval. What we're proposing here is to increase both limits to $50,000, so that, you know, we improve our efficiency, and we don't have to deal with RFP process for every single transaction, you know, at or about $25,000.
Right. So it's the RFP, right? We're talking about the item is the RFP portion, right? That it will be RFP'd if it's above $50,000. It will go through your regular approval process if it's under $50,000.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. It will definitely go. In fact, any transaction.
So what I'm trying to just point out is that there will be a procedure. It will just, like, it won't be RFP procedure through $50,000 and below. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. In fact, I was just going to add that any transaction more than $5,000 will require three bids. It will not be an RFP process, but if any contract is over $5,000, we will get three bids from different vendors, so that we can make sure that we're getting the best deal or the reasonable deal.
Right, the bidding is different. It's just that the RFP process is thresholds is being increased. The rest of the financial procedures and controls and everything else is there.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
Oh no, you can go ahead, sir.
Now, I was going to say, let's say the board approves the proposed limits today, and let's assume there is a contract for $26,000, right? That's in a normal, if we were to, you know, continue with our current limits, we'll require a board approval. But if you approve the new limits, then they will be under the approval threshold. But even in that scenario, we will, first of all, we will have three bids. Second, it will be vetted by both Chief Operating Officer, myself, and Alfredo, plus whatever area is basically that falls under. Like if it's an academic contract, the Chief Academic Officer will review on top of the legal review. Patrick will review that as well. So there are, you know, enough layers to kind of catch if there is any, you know, missing points, or if there is anything missing. There will be so many layers in the process, even without an RFP, RFP that just Mekan was referring to earlier.
Pardon, just a little addition. We'll be starting the regular board meeting at 6:20 p.m.
All right, if there's no further questions, Jen, go ahead.
Yeah, so the motion for this proposal is for the Finance Committee to recommend to the board to approve the proposed updates to the Fiscal Policies and Procedures Manual of Magnolia Public Schools. With that, is there a board member that would like to move this motion?
So moved.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you, Mr. Mohammadov. I'll now take vote. Dr. Dikbash?
Yes.
Rabbi Beliuk?
Yes.
Mr. Mohammadov?
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you, everyone. The motion carries with a unanimous vote. With that being said, that concludes the end of our meeting. Dr. Dikbash, can you please adjourn the meeting? The time is 6:17 p.m.
Yes, I think we covered all the items. And if there are no further questions, meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
I'm going to go to the car.